ladies and gentlemen, the translation interpretation headsets are located on a table just outside of the auditorium. And please return them back to the table when you're finished. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. We're about to begin the public forum. Over again. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chairman of the Board of ICANN, Peter Dengate Thrush.
Thank you, Nancy, and welcome, everybody. Thank you. This is one of the most exciting times of the week at ICANN. This is when the board assembles and gets ready to listen to the community, and this is for you. This is public comment to make your positions known. So we look forward to hearing from you, both as individuals, as representatives of the various groups that have been working to hear your views on the topics. What we try and do for this is prepare an agenda which has been published in advance so that you know when topics are coming up. I reserve the right to modify that as the circumstances dictate. If it seems that we need slightly more time on one topic and there's a sense from the community that that's the one they want to talk about, well, we'll try and extend the time. And at the end of that, there's time for other things that we haven't put on the agenda. So the first topic is one that's been occupying a lot of us for a long time, and it's the topic of the new GTLD program. And so without any further ado, I'm going to throw open the floor to you to talk about issues relating to the new GTLD program. I see there's no interest in the new GTLD program, which means we can move on to the... Oh, I see. Sorry, Amadeo.
You're forcing me.
Amadeo, thank you for being the brave first speaker.
In alphabetical order. Oh,
sorry, just before you begin, please. For those of you who... And Amadeo has been here and knows these rules, but not everybody does. When you come to the microphone, we would like you to identify yourself and any affiliation on whom behalf that you're speaking, and also to keep an eye on the screen where there is a two-minute clock... that's your limit, and I will cut you off at that point for the benefit of the speakers behind you. So with that, let's turn to Amadeo.
Amadeo Abril, Core Internet Council of Registers. Peter, you need to keep an eye on the watch for me. I don't see it.
Yes, sir.
You're very good at that. So I have a question, you know, not regarding the program or the draft itself, but regarding, you know, the board procedures. More or less, lots of people came here with the feeling that this was the final RFP and many things might be final. Then we are listening some stakeholders, mainly government, saying there are two or three things or two and a half things that perhaps not yet. They don't feel that we have completed the process. My question is, do you think that we can vote tomorrow on these things? And if not, in all of them, do you think that... can you explain what's the procedure that the board will follow to check with GAC when both parties feel they are ready for that? And I would just repeating something I said yesterday in the open GAC session. It was the first time I was addressing in the open mic the GAC. I was talking to the GAC the second time. Both times were when I was not in the board. When I was in the board, my feeling going to the GAC session was like going to the dentist. You need to, you know, go through it. But, you know, the sooner the better and, you know, the shorter the better. We still believe in the community that the board is doing a very good job, the GAC is doing a very good job, but there is something, which is the communication with the two bodies, that could be improved. And we urge you, both bodies, to please improve that, to make sure that you can iron out the issues that are still outstanding. Thanks.
Thanks, Amadeo, and thank you for sticking to time. In general, yes, the communication issue is one that we had started to address with, as had the GAC, by the formation of the Joint Board GAC Working Group, which has been addressing that. And we also see that some very interesting and helpful recommendations have been made by the Accountability and Transparency Review Team in relation to that. So that's an ongoing, if you like, subtext. In relation to this particular issue, I'm not sure what the board is going to do tomorrow when it's faced with this. Remember that our job is to balance all of the competing interests. One of the undertakings in the principles, for example, in relation to new GTLDs is not to do so in a manner which infringes the rights of others. And the concerns of governments about that, for example, needs to be taken into account very carefully. My personal preference would be to see to close off all those areas where there seems to be reasonable agreement that there is closure, so that the community knows what's settled, and if there are any outstanding issues remaining, that we then work on those. And in anticipation that there may well be some outstanding issues, and we have a number of very clearly marked ones, including in relation to geographic name protection, which we have written to the GAC and said we appear to be about to differ from your advice. To help us resolve those, we've suggested a session with the GAC in the same way that we made a lot of progress as a board with a two-day workshop, and I'm sorry I'm going on at length about this, but we had a very good workshop with the board and managed to break through on a lot of issues in Trondheim. We think that if we got together with the GAC and had a two-day session on a lot of issues, on the remaining issues, that would be very helpful in clearing the way. Delighted to see in the GAC communique that they've accepted that offer, and one of the resolutions tomorrow will probably be instructing the staff to press on full steam to organise a two-day workshop with the GAC to make that kind of progress. So, Amadeo, I hope that's enough. Certainly it was a long answer, but it was a complicated question. So let's come now to this microphone, Steve Metallitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Steve Metallitz. You've heard me here on behalf of the Coalition for Online Accountability many times. That group includes three of the largest music industry organizations in the United States. Today, I've been asked to speak on behalf of 16 national and international trade associations representing songwriters, recording artists, music publishers, record labels, and performing rights societies around the world. The coalition members represent the people that write, sing, perform, record, manufacture, distribute, and/or license over 80% of the world's commercial music. We care about music and how it is created, used, and consumed over the internet, and this coalition wants any new music-themed GTLD to be used productively and responsively and not as a means to facilitate copyright or trademark infringement. And in connection with this theme, three points about the latest draft applicant guidebook. First, an ultra-high standard for community objection. The proposed final guidebook has, without adequate explanation, suddenly raised the bar dramatically for community objection to the point where it seems unlikely that any community objection will prevail. We fear that we will have no realistic ability to object if a pirate chooses to hijack a music-themed GTLD to enable wide-scale copyright infringement of our works. So we hope that the material detriment standard will be revised back. Second, we'd taken comfort in the amount of application material that would be made public, but this has been sharply curtailed in the latest draft. That's effectively limiting our ability to use this information to assess when or how to comment on the fitness of the applicant or the sufficiency of safeguards against malicious conduct. And on malicious conduct, we would like to work with ICANN and others to ensure that best practices are developed and used to ensure that the type of malicious behavior that our industry has faced in the internet environment does not occur in new GTLDs. Thank you.
Steve, thanks very much, and thank you for the precision of the issues that you raise. Appreciate that. If I can recommend that as a model for other people coming to the microphone, it's not helpful for the board just to hear generic arguments and complaints. So congratulations, and thank you for the precision of that, and thank you for that last offer that's contained to come and work with us in relation to the malicious conduct. Back to that microphone, Ron Andruff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Andruff, RNA Partners, member of the BC, but speaking in my own capacity and also a potential applicant for new TLD. There are three comments which have been continuously made and echoed by members of the community, both by institutions and individuals alike, for the past 3 years at every public comment period. And considering that ICANN is a consensus-driven, and it is quite clear that we are in consensus in regarding these issues, the community is at a loss as to why we're not getting some implementation of some key elements. My hope, and that of those who join me in this consensus, is that the final applicant guidebook will in fact include the community's wishes. The first issue is community evaluation and the extreme level of subjectivity that it entails. It has been often noted one objector puts a community in jeopardy of gaining the right to manage its TLD, which is stacking the deck in favor of the objector, and that's antithetical to what the ICANN community is trying to achieve. Making the scoring 13 of 16 points creates a vastly more fair process. So until the staff can prove to the community that 14 of 16 points is necessary, an allowance of an additional point to offset this subjective process must be given. The second issue, a lower cost for communities to apply for IDN equivalents along with their ASCII string. If ICANN will consider allowing lower prices for applicants from less developed nations, but ignore the cries of those who do not read or write English, it is setting a double standard. ICANN will also be delaying the rollout of IDNs to communities by as much as 2 years simply because of the long process times for each application. Again, until staff clearly defines its logic as to why denying community-based applications the ability to provide IDNs for their community members, ICANN must reduce the cost for IDN equivalents to a cost recovery amount. Finally, market differentiation, or put differently, working towards a semantic DNS, must be the way forward to an orderly rollout and expansion of the domain name system. Anything less will lead to duplicative registrations, user confusion, and other issues over the long term. It's incorrect to say that market differentiation...
Your time is up.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You can go to the back of the queue. There's nothing stopping people from having multiple periods of 2 minutes. So if you can grab another one, we'd look forward to hearing the end of your submissions. Let's go to the side. Dirk. Okay.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Dirk Krzyzanowski, and I'm speaking on behalf of the .Berlin top-level domain project. My first points regard the difference between wish and reality in the GTLD process. And ICANN's bylaws, Section 2, Core Values, Paragraph 9 is written, acting with a speed that is responsive to the needs of the Internet. While the number of domain names from the foundation of ICANN in 98 to today has grown over 5,000% to more than 200 million domain names, the number of new GTLDs has been grown only around 14. 14 is not the speed of the Internet. Therefore, I call the board of directors to set free the power of the innovation of new TLDs with the introduction of new TLDs and approve the guidebook tomorrow on Friday. My second point regards the applications for capital city names, where we asked for a universal protection of capital city names against bad faith actors. Even if we have a support or non-objection letter from our government for .Berlin, another applicant with a confusingly similar string to .Berlin may drag .Berlin into an auction. I think a provision of a universal protection of capital city names can easily be added with consent to the applicant guidebook. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Back to that side.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Board. My name is Yaling Tang. I'm speaking on behalf of CDNC, the Chinese Domain Name Consortium.
Sorry, Scribes, we've just got the wrong name. You've got Anthony Van Kuvering's name up.
Oh, it's all right.
could you just say your name again, and we'll just allow you a bit of extra time at the end for this interruption.
Okay, my name is Yaling Tang.
Thank you.
Is it correct? Okay, let's proceed. As an organization committed to the widespread adoption of the Internet, the CDNC encourages ICANN to adopt CDNC's policy of delegating paired traditional Chinese and simplified Chinese domain names for GTLDs. We strongly believe that delegating only one version of a Chinese GTLD to an applicant will deprive the registry operator, CDN registrants, and the Chinese users worldwide of the ability of properly use CDNs and hence impede their use of the Internet when navigating using Chinese domain names. And we provide with following advices to ICANNs to adopt. The point one is to amend the GTLD applicant guidebook to reflect paired delegation of simplified Chinese and the traditional Chinese version of domain names to one applicant at one time. If the application is successful, the Chinese domain name TLD will be treated as a paired delegation and implemented as separate NS delegations. And point two is divide the strain similarity paired discussions in the GTLD applicant guidebook into two parts. One is a strain similarity panel for proposed labels in alphabetic and phonetic scripts, and the second one will be a Chinese domain name evaluation panel for proposed labels in Chinese characters. My third point is to amend the registry agreement to reflect that a CDN and its preferred variant will be seen as one TLD for review, approval, and contractual purpose per current practice at a second level for Chinese TLDs. CDNC has posted above suggestions to ICANN's public comment website. CDNC thanks ICANN for allowing IDN at a top level, and we would appreciate that so much if ICANN would listen to the community and make a workable variant policy. We'd like to work with ICANN to ensure that an acceptable implementation of CDN TLDs is feasible as part of the first round of the new GTLD process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've had an indication that Harold, who's been very helpful in advising the board in relation to variants, wants to make a comment.
Thank you very much. I believe that it is possible to integrate some aspect of that. ICANN has undertaken to investigate the matter of variants, and in order to make some forward progress, we are definitely going to try to look at what can be done to facilitate the usage of the Chinese script without attempting to solve the apparently unsolvable problem of solving all problems for all scripts. So we hope that we can achieve a good outcome that will satisfy all of us and soon, and look forward to looking to working with you in bringing this forward.
Thanks, Harold. And a further comment from Dennis, who's chaired the board's working group on this.
Testing? Oh, yes. I manage the technology. Thank you, Peter. Yes, to follow on from what Harold said, you will remember that the board instructed the CEO to develop an issues report in the area of variants for new GTLDs. That was picked up by the staff under the supervision and oversight of the ESWG, the Board ESWG Working Group. That's the ES Working Group. And I'm happy to say that significant progress has been made. There is a proposal being developed for, and you'll see a resolution tomorrow, for an issues project, a variant issues project, in fact, a set of projects, which will try and establish what the issues are around variants in UGTLDs in a number of scripts, one of which will be the Chinese script. And teams will be set up to try and establish as quickly as possible what the issues are and derive from that specifications and how the delegations may be done. We understand your anxiety, and we look forward to discussing it with you in the light of the resolution that the board will pass, hopefully pass, tomorrow. Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis. Let's go to this side, Mikey.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. There we go. My name is Mikey O'Connor. I'm the now retired junior co-chair of the Vertical Integration Working Group, and I wanted to come and let you know that I wanted to thank the board for what I think is a very good decision with regard to vertical integration, and also support the process by which that decision was made. I think one of the things that we as ICANN need to think about is how we make decisions. Sometimes decisions are well made by consensus. Sometimes they're not. In the case of the vertical integration process, that turned out to be a decision that didn't lend itself to being made on a consensus basis. So I want to expunge the record of the word failure, because an outcome of consensus is to arrive at a place where you discover you don't have consensus. At that point, that doesn't mean that you can't make a decision. It means that you need to make it a different way. I think the board acted entirely correctly in proceeding the way it did, and I will now reveal to all in the working group that which has never been revealed before, which is my opinion about vertical integration. I think you made a great decision, and I just wanted to say thanks to you all.
Thank you very much. You see, people, you are allowed to come to the microphone and say nice things about the process as well. So just in case anybody thought there was a rule about that, you can do that. Mikey, thanks for that. Let me repeat the email comments I shared with you and the group. The board thanks you and your other chair very much for the work that was done. It's interesting to the board that there hasn't really been any criticism that we've seen of the decision itself. Most people seem to either accept it or embrace it. And the major talking point has been the process by which the board reached that decision, and we are in the process of working out, in conjunction with the minutes of the meeting, a published statement of the full rationale for the process. So hopefully that will answer the only remaining question about vertical integration. Now, Anthony Van Kubering.
Thanks, Mikey, for having to follow you. The promise and beauty of ICANN, and it is beautiful, is that it's multi-stakeholder, that multiple voices are heard, and that out of many we can act as one. That promise we've seen is really under threat. Instead of multiple voices being heard, considered, and a compromise being reached within ICANN, some groups are going outside of the process. Instead of convincing their peers, they are lobbying governments, and governments, unaware of all the facts, are listening. This has to stop. We've had many meetings with intellectual property concerns who've brought forward their valid points and their concerns, and many concessions have been made to them. But instead of working within the community, they're taking second and third bites at the apple, available to them and only to them because of their wealth and special access to power. Governments, for their part, need to really fully inform themselves of the issues and of all points of view. The GAC can become a respected member of this community and not just one imposed on it by rejecting lobbying efforts by those with the wealth and the access to the corridors of power. Decisions at ICANN need to be made based on facts and good faith compromise by the community. If instead decisions are based on fear, ICANN doesn't need more meetings. It needs some psychiatrists. And if the will of the community continues to be thwarted by a few powerful people working in back corridors, it may need an undertaker. We've seen the first serious threat to the unity of the route in a while in the peer-to-peer DNS initiative undertaken by Peter Sunde of Pirate Bay.
Anthony, your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me share the concern that you express. It is a worry to the board when people go outside the process, and we look forward to the day when somebody approaches a government with a problem that's being dealt with at ICANN, the government response is, don't bother us, take it to ICANN, that's the place for those issues to be resolved. So let's come to this microphone. Philip.
Good afternoon. Philip Corwin, counsel with the Internet Commerce Association, representing domain name investors and developers. And to set my remarks in context, ICA members own and manage approximately 10% of all existing gTLD domains and are actively, I know our members are looking actively at new TLDs as both investors and registrants. And we've just filed detailed comments. We'd be happy to work with ICANN staff on the refinements I'm going to mention now. Two principal concerns on the three strikes rule for UDRP losses for applicants. We're concerned the UDRP is not consistent or predictable. That needs to be addressed down the road in UDRP reform. But we think that this three strikes rule needs to take portfolio size into account. There's a big difference between losing three if you have 300 domains versus 300,000. It should look at your overall record. If you've won the significant majority of UDRPs brought against you, you shouldn't be considered a bad actor. And if you've used the UDRP appeal process, gone under national law, and won a reversal of the initial decision, that should not be counted in the record. And also to balance the things, those who have tried to steal domains through repeated abuse of the UDRP and have been found repeatedly to be reverse domain name hijackers, there should be a similar rule. On the URS, we're somewhat dismayed that the board changed the response time from 20 to 14 days, which was part of the unanimous STIRT recommendations adopted by the GNSO. We would hope that there be some better guidance, not inflexible rules, but guidance on when good faith exceptions will be granted. And finally, we want to, and we hope the URS providers are put under contract, which is another recommendation. Finally, I want to commend CEO Beckstrom for his remarks in the GAC meeting the other day about the ease of recognizing fears versus the inability to recognize benefits. Had the public internet been put on hold until all the industries that would be disrupted by it had all their concerns alleviated, we would still be waiting for it and would not have realized all the benefits. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Back to the side.
I'm Scott Seitz with .gay. And I think my concerns have been voiced and are going to be continued to voice regarding the TLD, gTLD process for communities and the possibility of losing points that were gained very honestly to people who don't necessarily have the same bandwidth or responsibilities in the community of the endorsers that we're, that we and other gTLDs are going to have. So we're going to be filing edits to the or recommendations to the waiting process, specifically focusing in on the 2 points for community, and I'm sure there are going to be two or three other suggestions that are coming in, and none of us want to slow this process down, but I encourage the board to actively look at what's being said. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This side.
Thank you. My name is Johannes Lenz Havlicek. I'm managing director of Dot Hotel. I have stated before in front of this forum that we are going to apply for a TLD for the global hotel industry, and that we do this with the support from hotel associations worldwide, such as the International Hotel and Restaurant Association, who appreciate the value proposition of this new TLD. I want to make a short comment on trademark protection. We understand the concerns of trademark owners with regard to defensive registrations, and we have discussed this issue with our partners in the hotel industry. As a consequence, we have created a protected names list, which includes the trademarks of the 100 largest hotel companies. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Left-hand side.
Elliot Noss from Two Cows. Peter, I want to start by really applauding the spirit, and Heather, you as well, of the board and the GAC later in the week to get together and to start to evolve and take your relationships to a new level. I think the idea of an offsite is fantastic, and I think it's important that we recognize that this is a new experiment in governance, and now that we've moved from some devolution of power from the U.S. government to the rest of the world, that you'll have to feel your way around the relationship, and that's okay. And so I'd want to just encourage the positive spirit and progress. I feel compelled to also add to that that the stakes are now higher than they've ever been. The internet is an agreement. It is a series of protocols. Anthony saved me a few seconds by highlighting the first example. We are seeing the first, from my perspective, serious fraying around the edges. Anthony mentioned the Pirate Bay situation. You know, there you were talking about what I would call extra-legal domain seizures. The WikiLeaks example is even scarier for me. And it's not that the specifics or the right or wrong of the actors in that example matter, but it's the confidence that internet users start to lose in the role and ability of governments in relation to the internet. ICANN is seen as part of that mix. I strongly encourage and urge that we keep to the published timelines and that whether we can agree on all issues, that GAC and the board come out with agreement, because we don't want this issue to be the Archduke Ferdinand for the internet. Thank you.
Thanks, Elliot. Mr. Foody.
Hello, gentlemen. 2 minutes, okay. ICANN was set up under a white paper dated July 1st, 1997, which asked for the domain name system to be privatized in a manner that increases competition and facilitates international participation in its management. The fact that we've got the IDNs now is great. That introduces people to the that introduces the global perspective. But the trouble is, we're talking about competition, improving competition. Harald Alverstrand, back in Seoul, suggested that he thought that the root of a million names would be a good thing. In Brussels, he corrected himself. He said that the root of a million names would be an incredibly bad thing. I think I'm accurate in saying that. He's on a board of maybe 15, 20 of you there. I haven't counted. And despite the fact that what he said in Seoul was totally opposite to what he said in Brussels, not one of you said, actually, I think you're wrong, Harald. And given that, given the fact that when we're talking about competition, and this is a really big deal, the internet at the moment is a vastly valuable, it's the most important tool known to man, yet devised. And we are giving it away, and yet we haven't done a study yet that will determine if we are going to improve competition. And it won't improve competition, because what we're doing is we are replicating the dot-com system at the top root level. We are giving the bigger corporations the opportunity to object to string similarities and to have protection at the lower levels. So, and all this, at the moment, I can get a dot-com domain for $10. In the future, it's going to cost me $1 million for the first if we work on the basis of the figures that we've mentioned before. I'm out of time. Thank you.
Thank you for that, and thank you for watching the time. I'm appreciating the response that we're getting to that. Let me just change tack slightly. One of the other features, of course, of ICANN operations is remote participation. This forum has remote participants, and I'm going to ask now if staff can read out any of the comments or questions that are coming in from the public forum. Felice.
Hello. Felice Yilmaz here. I will be reading a remote comment, and I apologize if I'm misreading the name. It is from D.V. Siman Nunkalit, from Ministry of ICT of Indonesia. I think the most important of GAC result is not only communique that written in the paper, but GAC don't show yet is the power to approach other parties in ICANN. This is not all about organized 2 days meetings agenda, but how the leader of GAC have special approach skill to approach and to show his power to another parties. GAC as advisor committee should be tough in apply their advice, not only to draft the advice. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Lisa. Are there any other online comments while we're there? Not
at
yet.
The moment.
All right, we'll come back to this side of the microphone. Mr. Tindall.
I'm Richard Tindall, and I'm a TLD, prospective TLD applicant. I'd like to commend the board for the great care you're taking on this very important program. I'd like to apologise for my voice too, it's a bit croaky. I see it as a historic event, and therefore the care that you're taking is very appropriate in my view. In particular, the attention that you've paid to trademark protections is greatly appreciated. As a prospective TLD operator, I appreciate the tools you've given me to protect my customers and to trademark holders. I intend to compete with .com, and to the extent I'm successful, my customers will enjoy far greater protections than those enjoyed by .com customers. I think there are a few outstanding issues to be resolved in the applicant guidebook, and I look forward to that occurring over the next month or two. I have followed with great interest and have analysed the advice provided by the GAC over the last 3 years. My analysis shows that over 70% of the requests made by the GAC are now embodied in the applicant guidebook. Given the extremely important role played by the GAC, I think that's a completely appropriate that they have achieved such a high proportion of their requests. And so, should some additional pieces of GAC advice need to be included in the book, I would support that also, depending upon the nature of those. Finally, closure of the applicant guidebook does not mean the finality of our ability to make future changes. All registries are subject to the policy development process. All registries can and will have future requirements placed upon them. Entry of the new TLDs to the route will not occur until 2012, and it will be spread out over a 36-month period. There will be adequate time and opportunity to assess impacts and to make any adjustments to the program as it unfolds. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. I might approach you for that analysis of the treatment of GAC advice before we go to that meeting with the GAC. I think it would be quite helpful for us both to know exactly what that pattern and what the detail and of course, what the 30% of unresponded or unacknowledged or unagreed to pieces is. Thank you.
I do have copyright on that, but if you can provide me with adequate protections, I will provide it to you.
That's all right. I happen to know a copyright lawyer or two, so that's... yes, thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Daniel Schindler. I'd like to make a few brief comments in connection with the launch of new TLDs as a potential applicant. Most importantly, I'd like to say that I like the proposed final applicant guidebook. The community and the staff should take much credit for it. That doesn't mean I think it is perfectly suited for my benefit, but it most certainly provides a framework within which any reasonably minded person can operate successfully and responsibly. What I don't like, to put it mildly, is the same individuals taking every opportunity at every microphone to spew out the same scaremongery based on no foundation and which has been discounted over and over again for many years. I have heard nothing new for so long. The so-called trademark lobby is demanding protections online far in excess of what they get offline, for which there have been proven remedies in law for more than a century. For example, I asked a well-known trademark attorney how long it would take if I opened a store in the mall and had my sign writers name my store in his global brand name. He admitted it could take 4 years to have me remove it. The consensus reached by the SDI, upon which the trademark lobby agreed, would ensure that the solution to their problem online is resolved in about 4 weeks. And they are still not happy. I am not saying they are not entitled to their opinion too. But the time for more caution long since became constant procrastination. As I posted previously this week, some people will never ever be happy, but that is no reason for further delay. So I implore the board to open the application window as a matter of urgency and credibility. Nobody can argue that ICANN has rushed this process, and nobody could possibly conceive every possible issue for the future launch of any product, even if we wait for DAG 99. With reference to the application window, it makes no sense to me to have the window open for more than a couple of weeks. Given there is no advantage in applying early, why would anyone hand over $185,000 just to be sat on for several weeks by ICANN? Consequently, everyone will wait till the last days and create a logjam for the appraisers.
Thank you. Your time is up. Come back.
Congratulations to the community and to the board and the staff for getting us so close to the finishing line.
Thanks very much.
And happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
I guess that is a sign of devotion, coming to ICANN on your birthday. Thank you, Daniel. Let's go to the other side, Marilyn.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. I am speaking as the chair of the business constituency. The business constituency represents the interest of the broader business community at ICANN. And I am going to note for the record that it is in our charter that we adhere and respect the core values and principles of ICANN, which in fact is also a requirement of the board and the staff and all other parties at ICANN to listen attentively to all views. I think that comment came because I'm hearing people object to hearing from others, and it's important we continue to hear. And now for the comment about the BC's formal position. We have responded formally to previous versions of the applicant guidebook and have undertaken such a process again and have filed our formal comments. I will summarize the overarching perspective and then leave it to other individual BC members who will identify themselves as speaking for the BC when they address a particular topic for your convenience and the understanding of the full community. The BC continues to support managed, responsible introduction of new GTLDs. We are not saying no new GTLDs. We are saying do it right and do it at the right time. And in order to do that, we must complete the work on the overarching issues and incorporate that work in a reflective, responsible manner into the elements of the applicant guidebook. We continue to prioritize community-facing TLDs in order to avoid just cloning or duplicating the space. We, in fact, will say you're not done yet. So I'll make a comment about being 70% done. If you take a cake out of the oven at 70% done, you'll have something other than a cake. We need to be careful about thinking that being 70% done is enough. We need to complete the work and then move forward with new GTLDs.
Thanks, Marilyn. This side, Jeff.
Thank you. Jeff Brueggemann with AT&T. A couple of specific points on the process, and we're at a critical juncture now with the new TLDs, and I think a lot of the discussion today is how to bring it to closure. And one point I want to make is that, Peter, accept your invitation to make a positive comment about the recently completed phase two of the economic study. It reflects what we have long called for, which it actually looks at some experience with new domain names, and we think there is very relevant information from that analysis about the potential cost to new domain names, but also the potential benefits and how to learn from experience and manage the risks that are created by a significant expansion. So we would urge that be incorporated into the process. More broadly, I would like to reiterate that the BC position generally, that it's important to think about all of these issues holistically in a way that the process to date has really not facilitated. There is a clear interrelationship between trademark abuse, malicious conduct, and the economic analysis of the costs and benefits. It would really benefit the process and a sense of closure on the issues to assess those issues together. And finally, a broader point is that however ICANN decides to move forward with the new domain names and makes decisions that some community members undoubtedly will be unhappy with, it's very important to have a full, thorough, reasoned decision that explains the treatment of the input that was provided by the community. I think this will be very important for all of us, regardless of our position. And Peter, maybe your comment on the vertical integration issue might be a model for a way to bridge the gap between the detailed public input and the high-level board resolutions that really don't facilitate that type of thorough explanation for the decision. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to stop just before you come to the next one and go back to Feliz. I see the light is on, which is my signal that there's some public comment.
Yes, we do have another one from Paul Tetterfield, Grange Project Management. The lack of both comment analysis and community discussion on the economic studies is very concerning, and as a result, there are still significant serious concerns buried in the detail. One quick example to show the depth and seriousness of these issues, what happens if Microsoft secures .search? How does Google or any startup search provider, for that matter, feel about it? Microsoft may be happy to allow Google to register Google.search if they can point video.search and news.search to Bing. If there is a wholesale migration to the right of the dot, then yes, This matters because once users come to perceive entities to the right of the dot as superior, we have managed to create a series of private monopolies in perpetuity in every vertical in the world. This allows a contracted party can use the implicit branding of the DNS to compete against all others in their market who are forced to compete from the second level. Trademark law doesn't allow such advantage, nor should ICANN. I really fail to see how granting the most economically advantaged private corporations such implicit DNS branding advantage can ever be in the public interest. I can see this would be contracted parties' interest, and I can see ICANN's interest. But where is the public interest required under the affirmation of commitments? Thank you.
Thank you. Is there another one? There, Felice, no, we'll come back to you later on. Back to you then, Philip Shepherd.
Thank you. It's Philip Shepherd speaking on behalf of the BC, and that was almost a planted question, bearing in mind that what the comments I want to make. We were very encouraged by what we heard in the interaction between the GAC and the board this week. It's clear government had been listening attentively and carefully, doing good analysis and understanding the concerns of business. We heard a very good summing up from that from an incoming board member when he explained there were costs and benefits, but in this bizarre world, the benefits are falling on one side and the costs are falling on the other. All the nonsense that we've been giving you in terms of trademark and abuse rights protection over the last few years is to do with one thing and one thing only. That's protecting the reputation of those who are currently doing business. All we're trying to do is to secure a set of new TLDs that allows benefits to come out for the guys who want that without imposing costs on a different set. I would encourage you to look at the latest version of the comments made from the BC. We have done them this time as a sort of a cut and paste. We've taken the precise wording in the DAG and we've recommended precise changes to it to make very clear what we're suggesting in terms of changes with small paragraphs of justification. One particular detail, just to bring to your attention, the board did some excellent work at your Norway retreat recently, and you tried to craft some wording which was related to the qualifying reasons why trademarks may be in Sunrise or some of the other rights protection mechanisms. The wording was good, but not quite good enough in scaling globally. You will see in our paper some suggestions which take precisely your objective, but make it in a way that scales in more countries. In essence, the board's wording was rather more specific to the US regime and did not take into account other trademark regimes. The objective is the same, and that's something that you'll find in our submission. Thank you,
Philip. Look forward to reading those, particularly if you've taken the care that you say to reflect them in the way you've done. Let's come to the side and hear from Dot New York.
I'm Tom Lowenhaupt. I'm the director of Connecting.NYC, Inc. We're a New York State not-for-profit that focuses on the development of the .NYC top-level domain as a public interest resource. And I appreciate the great work that you people have in this incredibly difficult process. And I see you forever moving closer and closer to fruition. I, however, went to many of the meetings this week and heard a lot of perhaps valid objections and thought that if you wanted a course through tomorrow, if you want to adopt something, that I'm going to suggest that city TLDs are a good measured course through the process. And I'll just provide two of the many reasons that I posted yesterday on our blog. For those concerned about intellectual property, city TLDs reduce the likelihood of trademark confusion. The .cat experience attests to this. Additionally, cities are responsible players with ready recourse through the nation-state structures. City TLDs will provide a test for those concerned about the human and technical readiness of the ICANN and the root. So I give my minute to the guy behind me here.
Very generous. Thank you very much. Let's go to the guy behind you, which is over that side.
Thank you. Steve DelBianco with NetChoice and a member of the business constituency. I'd like to pick up on something that was discussed, Peter and Bruce were there, in a workshop this morning on joint applicant support, which is the notion of providing help for applicants who need money or other assistance. The question would be about your Nairobi resolution, the one that gave birth to that joint applicant group. In that resolution, you have a whereas that mentions the needs of registrants and users, and you acknowledge the need to meet organizational objectives, for instance, the affirmation of commitments, which calls for global public interest of users. But what leads me to conclude, though, is that Joint Applicant Support Group is focusing exclusively on applicants and not on users. Now, the business constituency's official position is that applicants for new strings should be encouraged to offer versions of their string in other scripts and languages, especially for communities that would not otherwise be served. And that assistance and encouragement would include even discounts through these bundled applications. So my question for you is that would the board please clarify the Nairobi resolution? Was it only about needy applicants, or was it also about getting the applicants we need to serve the global public interest of small linguistic communities? Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. That sounds like the sort of that sounds like a working group discussion rather than for the board to consider. I know you were raising it with the working group. Can you make sure that comes through that process? That would be the most efficient for us.
It needs to show up in the guidebook, and we're down to the final days on that, and that's why I ask you to clarify as soon as you can.
Okay, point noted. Thank you. Let's come to this side, to Dot Music.
Hi, this is Constantine Roussos from the Music Domain Initiative. I've expressed the same concerns in two other sessions this week and to some individual board members. I echo Steve Metallett's comments in regards to a legitimate music community-led effort being unable to reach the 14 points under community application. Unfortunately, the current community evaluation criteria is prone to gaming and loopholes. A genuine, legitimate community music top-level domain should be consistent to ICANN's affirmation of commitments in regards to transparency, accountability, openness, international participation, and ensuring fairness and preventing harm. A music top-level domain should be a value added to the music community, not a nuisance. The goal is to ensure the music industry and the legitimate international music community is assured a safe top-level domain or equivalents that prevent malicious conduct and music-related trademark or copyright infringement. Piracy hurts the music community. Another request is that the third-party evaluators are given the appropriate instructions, guidelines, and flexibility to identify and solve all the concerns of the at-large, legitimate, global, multi-stakeholder music community. I applaud the ICANN board for the decision on vertical integration to spur innovation and competition. I am also excited to be given the opportunity to provide exceptional value and brutal efficiency to the music community in a responsible manner. Thank you for listening, and thank you for having me here.
Thank you for your submission. Let's go to the other side. Thank you.
Thank you. Yang Yu with China Organizational Name Administration Center, which is abbreviated as CONAC. We are the member of CDNC, and when standing here is to appreciate Dennis and Horace's comment, and I'm willing to support my colleague Yaling's comment regarding the variant issues. You know, the Chinese character is really a tough job, and I'm looking forward to the variant report, which you have just mentioned, because we trust ICANN, and we want to assist your work in the future, and just keep in mind that if you should need any further assistance, we're in, and your decision just make the future of the over 1.6 billion people. Thank you.
Yes, thanks. I see Dennis wants to reply.
Thank you for that. Just to let you know that the Issues Project will, by design, involve the community which has the issues. So it'll be very much community-based, and in terms of the Chinese scripts, very much based on the subject matter knowledge in the Chinese community.
Thank you.
Thank you. So this side, Brett.
My name is Brett Fawcett. I'm an attorney in private practice, and I'm speaking to the board right now from the perspective of an applicant. Having gone through multiple iterations of the applicant guidebook, we've seen that the first set of comments focused on the broad policy choices that the board should make in implementing new TLDs. Well, over multiple iterations, we're now down to very fine details. And I looked through the public comments this morning, including some I've submitted a couple of hours ago, and they are on the details of corrections that should be made to language, clarifications that applicants don't quite understand. And while I very much hope that tomorrow the board will pass a resolution meaningfully moving forward on new TLDs and including approving the guidebook, I hope that that resolution will give staff the ability to look at those fine details that people have put in over the last couple of weeks and make corrections to that guidebook before it becomes final.
Thank you, Brett. I can give an absolute assurance that the board and the staff pay a great deal of attention to all public comment, and that will be taken into account in the balancing exercise. Of course, not everybody gets what they want in that public comment, but it is noted. Thank you. Werner Staub.
Yeah, my name is Werner Staub. I speak in a personal capacity as someone who is not sure whether I'm sad or proud to wear this medal of 30 ICANN meetings. The reason is, of course, the time it takes us. And in this context, I would like to build upon the metaphor that Marilyn has just brought about the cake in the oven. Indeed, there is some likelihood that some of the cake is not done yet, but the top of it in this very big cake is getting burned and has been quite badly burned already. Now, there is a solution to it, which we all know, and we somehow seem to be forgetting it all the time. Make smaller cakes more often. That's easier. If you just have one oven, we can use time to divide it up. We make smaller rounds, and we should at least give an opportunity for people to go on later rounds. Right now, we're pushing everybody, whether they're ready or not, just to defensively jump on the next round. This is particularly true for brand TLDs, where it can be a very big risk not to be there when the competitor has a brand TLD. Now, talking about the top of the cake, so to speak, the fruit is being burned right now. I have a comment about how we should deal with that. Namely, we have this scoring system. I've never been a friend of it, but it introduces a couple of criteria. One of these criteria is pretty wrong, namely, we want people to have card-carrying members, and only the card-carrying members of that community can make registrations, and we give a point for that. That is not a good idea. However, we forgot the very important criterion, namely, that the community-based registry should be accountable to the community. And there is no requirement currently in the applicant guidebook for the applicant to provide proof of accountability to the community. That's all.
Thank you. Let's come to the side. Jay Scott.
I'm Jay Scott Evans. I'm president of the Intellectual Property Constituency. I'm also a senior director of global brands and trademarks at Yahoo. And I am a member of the board of directors for the Intellectual Property International Trademark Association on the executive committee there. I want to say to the board that I completely agree with the comments we heard from the GAC the other day. My 9,000 members tell me we are not done. And there are members who are very supportive of new GTLDs. There are trademark owners who are very excited about the ways they can use new TLDs, but they want to make sure that it's done correctly. INTA, my company, we've been here all along participating to find reasonable solutions to the problems, and we want to continue to do so. This process is being watched closely by governments and participants who aren't here, and we need to make sure that we move through this responsibly and that this is a success. I wish it a success for everyone involved who's given their time, their effort, their talents, most of it unpaid. I would like this to be a success. We are here to help it be a success, but we still have issues that must be worked out. I thank you for your time. I thank you for listening, and I just want you to know we're here to help.
Thanks very much. Back to the other microphone.
Hi there. My name is Kasper Feldheim. I'm working for the company BayernConnect that is actually applying for a Bavarian top-level domain in Germany. I was talking to a person yesterday, actually, somebody that has been involved within the ICANN community for years. He was there since the beginning. And he told me about the first ICANN meeting in Los Angeles 12 years ago. They were sitting in a room with several people from IBM, NSI, and the US government, actually. And they were talking about the introduction of new GTLDs. And he said, guess what? They had the exact same pros and cons that we have today. The concerns whether the benefits outweigh the costs, and of course the trademark issues. So he said, here we are now, 12 years later, and we are in the same spot as back then. Of course, a lot of progress has been made since then. But overall, it's the same issues. Certain people, and of course trademark holders, will never be in favor of new GTLDs and will keep on using their channels to continue lobbying against them. So we can delay the process again, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, I don't know. But however, these people who stand for innovative... No, sorry. But no new information will be gathered. It doesn't matter how long the process still will take. There's not much more that we can find out, and I think we should realize that. We'll be in the same spot as we are today. The only that will probably happen is the people. The only thing that will probably happen is that people who want to apply for new GTLDs might not be around anymore because of the endless delays and the cost they have. However, these are the people who stand for innovation, progress, and competition, and they are the ones who will help to create new jobs and new opportunities. Also, I want to add that there is a discussion about TLDs confusing the internet users. In Germany, we are actually used to multiple TLDs. There is no confusion. We use .de, .de, .eu, .com, .info, and we know .at, .nl, or even .pl. I'm very aware that the process needs to be done in the right way. But most things already in the guidebook are done in the right way. So please approve it and sort out the last two, maybe three issues without any delay for the proposed timeline. Thank you.
Excuse me. Thank you. Yes, now to the side.
Thank you. My name is Toela Jere, and I am a second-time fellow on the ICANN Fellowship Program, and I would like to commend the board and the community for that program. I'm standing here actually speaking on behalf of the African Union Commission, which has observer status to the GAC. The African Union Commission recognizes the work of ICANN in developing the new GTLD program and further recognizes the role and work of the GAC in providing advice to the ICANN board regarding the new GTLDs and the implications thereof. The African Union Commission welcomes the new GTLD process insofar as it is handled responsibly and allows for and promotes wider participation and inclusiveness in the internet ecosystem. The AUC takes this opportunity to inform the community that at their third meeting held in Abuja in July 2010, the African Union Conference of Ministers responsible for ICTs, in their declaration, requested the African Union Commission to set up the structure and modalities for the implementation of a .Africa project. Following this directive, the AUC has convened a task force of experts to define the strategies and the means for implementing a .Africa. The AUC intends to follow a transparent and open process towards implementation of a .Africa registry, consistent with the desire to use the .Africa namespace for the benefit of the continent and in consideration of the need to uphold public interest in its implementation. The AUC further seeks to ensure that delegation of GTLDs that have continental significance, such as .Africa, and variants and derivatives such as .Afrique and .Africa with a K, are handled in a manner that is consistent with the desire of the ministers and under guidance of the African Union. The AUC requests the support of the board, the GAC, and the entire community in ensuring that the objectives of preserving the .Africa namespace for the benefit of Africa are upheld and in assisting the AUC to realize this important objective. Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing the views of the African Union, and thank you very much for coming here for the second time as a part of the Fellows Program. Let's give her a hand. Thank you.
To the other side. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm Bob Hutchinson from Dynamic Ventures, speaking as an implementer of internet technology. ICANN serves two ends, names and numbers. The immense effort being expended on names and the new GTLD program should be matched with a similar effort to support the community during the IPv4 to IPv6 transition. The IANA contract is about numbers, and it's up for renewal in 2011. The same time, ICANN will be entirely focused on GTLD applications and the launch process. ICANN's relatively small effort to encourage adoption of IPv6 will leave the organization vulnerable to criticism when we hit the wall on IPv4 addresses probably next year, and will probably be an ISP in the developing world who will be the first to hit the wall. Therefore, to avoid a perfect pending storm, I would like to see ICANN spend more resources on supporting the adoption and the future of the internet, IPv6.
Peter, could I just ask a question of that?
Yes, of course.
What resources are you expecting on IPv6? Because the technical infrastructure is there, so I'm interested in what you mean by ICANN putting more resources there. Like it is available in the root, it is available in the major TLDs. So what do you think ICANN's role is there?
I think that, for example, the draft applicant guidebook only gives IPv6 support one point, and it's not mandatory. That's wrong, in my opinion. It should be mandatory, and it should be a disqualification if you don't fully support IPv6 in your application. Another point is there's a great deal of confusion within the implementation community about how IPv6 is and the transition is going to affect the entire global infrastructure of the internet. And ICANN, I believe, needs to step up to the plate and start communicating a bunch of that information and support more outreach. See, I'm getting heads nods here. There's a lot of confusion about how IPv4 to 6 transition should and could occur. And this organization needs to step up to the plate and start telling people what the timeline should be and how to go about doing it.
Sorry, I'm having trouble here. Ray, a quick response.
Thank you, Peter. My first question would be, have you gone to the regional internet registry in the region where you reside? Because I know all five of the regional internet registries have an extreme amount of outreach activities going on, which include interface with governments, with the business organizations, with communities. They have available a large amount of information that's educational in nature. They all have had very active policy processes in this area. So there is a lot of resources that are available and have been available for quite a period of time, and the board is well aware of these activities and applauds them.
Okay. Can we just have one quick response? We're actually on new GTLDs, and we're straying off into a very different topic, a very interesting one, but let's stick to this topic.
We'll bring it back to new GTLDs. In the draft applicant guidebook, IPv6 is a requirement. So the community has supported, and it is a requirement in the new GTLD program. And just want to second Ray's comments. The regional internet registries are really the lead on this issue. New GTLDs. Yes.
Sorry, I was checking with Kateem. It's a new GTLD point. Yep.
Thanks, Peter. And to the extent that the whole issue of IPv6 deployment is going to be of fundamental importance to the resilience and stability of the internet, I'd just like to say that I'd like us to go beyond just encouraging people to work with their regional registries to actually inject ourselves in those various mechanisms they have for capacity building and outreach and see what ICANN can do to support them.
Okay, let's get back to new GTLD. So let's come to the side of the room. Thank you, sir.
My name is Chris Chimanga. I'm currently the DOT administrator of the DOT CD. My point is I've just realized that people have come front and they're not talking about the cost of the new GTLD, which is quite amazing. It's quite normal that the price is a bit is normal. But I just want to iterate that the price is the cost is too high. And because we intend, in back home, we intend to promote the cultural and linguistic, as well as the ethnic, of our within the country. And when we look at also in the north and south, we realize that really there's a lot much to that we can benefit from if the cost could be that. Let me put it, it's too high, but you please look at how you can reduce the cost. And I'm also thinking of when we consider that on the north of Africa, we got the Latin character and the Arabic script. And we think that looking at how you can be on, join also and join us on the table would be to make it as a bundle, bundle the prices in terms of, because it's a Latin character and this one is a Latin and we've got also Arabic, then you give us a choice of giving us a bundle prices. Then that will be to assist us, because when you consider in Africa we've got a lot of culture and but. Looking at the price that you're putting up, it's quite a bit expensive. Thank you.
If I could just answer one of your questions, just stay there for a minute. The reason why we don't discuss costs so much is that we've had a lot of discussion about costs at previous meetings, and the issue is that the whole program has been designed on the instructions of the community to be on a cost recovery basis. So the Finance Committee has done a lot of work in making sure that the application price is intended to recover costs. And built into that, of course, is the cost of the uncertainty, the litigation, etc., around the first round. So it's the general expectation that later rounds will be considerably cheaper as the uncertainties become more certain. Secondly, because we recognise that that cost is reasonably high for some applicants, there's an active working group working on a way of assisting applicants who need funding. So you might like to make contact with that group. And Rod, I think you want to respond in relation to the bundling point.
Sure. Each string stands alone, and that's, there's principles that are developed by the community in the plans, and so there has not been a consensus developed on any sort of bundling. So I think that would need to be perhaps a contemplation for the future. But thank you very much. We hear you on the issues and appreciate your sharing that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And one more. Dennis, a quick response?
Well, it's not on this, Peter. It's just that we're 10 minutes over the allotted time.
Oh, thank
and
you.
We're on the queue, and I'm just reminding you.
Yes, I was about ready to see. We're going to take more time. We've used up the allocated time on UGTLDs, but I assume if we can close off the lists behind each of the last people, or if I can give you a warning that we're about to close off the list, and if you still want to say something, perhaps you could join the queues. I'm assuming from that there's a general sense that this is important enough to continue and that we can delay and obviously eventually lose some time on some of the later issues. Is that a general consensus of the room? It is. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, let's go back to... I see we're starting to get second rounds. Amadeo, what I'd like you to do is stand to one side, and I'm going to ask Mr. Foody to do the same. Amadeo, could you yield, please, to people who haven't yet had a chance? I'd rather hear from new speakers first in case we run into a time problem.
It's called friendly censorship.
Well, I prefer to think of it as fairness in terms of allocation of the time resource, but you may be right. Kieran.
Hello, Kieran McCarthy here from the GIBC. First of all, I want to say some positive comments, which was that I think the board, you've made excellent progress the last few months. I think it's been very difficult. I think you've done an extremely good job. You're actually, for the first time, I think really acting like a board of ICANN. So I want to take my hat off to you for that. And I appreciate it. However, you have had some criticisms, and I have to say I agree with those criticisms, and I hope that you reflect them back and say that you recognise that you did fall short on one or two issues. The vertical integration explanation, I actually think you've made a perfectly logical, reasonable, rational economic decision, but the explanation of it was dreadful. I don't know anyone that wasn't shocked by your decision. It's the right decision, but it was really unexpected, and you should have done a much better job reiterating that or making it clear to people how you got there. I know you're going to do it, but you really should have done it at the time. The economic studies, I really don't want to go into the economic studies. I think it's done. I think the costs clearly outweigh the benefits. I wish you'd have done it a while ago, but you know that's a lot of water has passed since then. I hope that you will think ahead this time. And
Kieran, just to interrupt, do you want to go on record the way you said that as saying you think the costs clearly outweigh the benefits?
No, I want to say the opposite. Thank you very much.
Just noting the <text. laughs>
Thank you, Peter. I hope you look forward a little bit with economic studies, in the sense that if you started a process now saying you're going to get an economic study for a year after GTLDs have come in, I think that would be very valuable. But you should start that now. I think you should learn from the lesson of the past and say we will have one in future. Let's start the ball rolling now. And not enough time to comment. I think actually that's a fair comment. I mean, it is very difficult to read these documents and get back that quickly.
Okay, so I think your time is up. Just let me respond to the thanks to the board, which I very much appreciate. You've got to realise that we're only as good as the material we're given, and that comes as a result, first of all, of enormous work by the community into the working groups and all the other organs, and then the enormous work that the staff does in preparing that. And I can tell you the staff work in preparation for Trondheim was just awesome. So let me share that. Thank you. And they're all down here if you want to thank them. Okay, let's come to the side. Elaine.
Hi, I'm Elaine Pruis. I work with Minds and Machines.
I just have 3 points. First, I wanted to express my opinion that the board made a great decision to allow cross-ownership. I think that's wise, and it will benefit the entire community. Second, I wanted to thank the members of the REC 6 working group and the ICANN staff for their dedication and work in responding to the GAC concerns on the morality and public order objections. That working group superbly modeled the consensus building that makes ICANN successful, and I hope the board adopts their recommendations. Third point, throughout the week, some people have expressed concern that they are not sure if the benefits of introducing new GTLDs outweigh the cost. Rod Beckstrom opened the meeting with a speech in which he said, opening up the namespace to new generic top-level domains is intended to promote competition, innovation, and consumer choice. Innovation lifts people out of poverty, and innovation not only creates jobs, it creates industries. New GTLDs will create jobs, not only for registry operators like myself and registrars, but for the increased demand for DNS services. New GTLDs will create new jobs for domain hosting companies, new jobs for website designers, new jobs for online advertisers, new jobs for marketers, new jobs for customer support, new jobs for attorneys, new jobs for payment processing companies, new jobs for journalists, new jobs for software engineers, new jobs for server location facility operators, and new jobs for factory workers that build hardware devices. All of these new jobs create competition. Finally, the new GTLDs will bring more security to the internet through the requirement to utilize DNSSEC. I'd like to ask the board to not allow further delay. Please vote to approve the proposed applicant guidebook and begin the communications period. Thank you.
Thank you. Mike.
Thank you, Peter. Mike Pelage. The majority of everyone you've heard speak here today has an economic interest in seeing new GTLDs go forward, or in some cases actually oppose that. And if there's any question as to the economic interest, if you take a look at the big poster board behind you with the sponsors that are making this meeting happen, you will see many of them are the infrastructure providers that will benefit. Now the reason, and that's not a bad thing, but here's the important thing. Paragraph 4 of the Affirmation of Commitment states that ICANN and the DOC recognize that there is a group of participants that engage in ICANN's processes to a greater extent than internet users generally. And there's an important part that follows on that talks about how ICANN needs to go about protecting the public interest. ICANN's greatest strength is the bottom-up consensus-driven process. But that greatest strength is also its greatest weakness. And as we've seen in the vertical integration, there are some times when economic interest will prevent consensus from happening. And like we've heard, for someone coming here and hearing the demand for new GTLDs, it would sort of be a no-brainer. Wow, why haven't you done this long ago? I would submit that ICANN's biggest safeguard to ensure its long-term longevity is the GAC. That is one of its most important safeguard mechanisms in the bylaws, as well as, I think, in the affirmation of commitments, where the U.S. government sort of stepped aside and looked to holding itself accountable not only to the entire internet community, but also other governments. One final point here. We've heard a lot about how we've been talking about this for 10 years, and it's time to just go forward, and we've waited too long. I would add, I've had the benefit over the last couple of years of working with the ITU and the UPU, both international organizations with 130-plus years of institutions. 10 years is not that long. Thank you.
Thank you. And now to the side of the room, Wendy.
Thank you. Wendy Seltzer speaking here as an individual. Just to recall that ICANN is... as Michael noted, founded on bottom-up consensus-driven processes. This new GTLD process started as a GNSO Council consensus policy. And it's important to recognize that consensus and the board's role in implementing that consensus. Consensus often requires compromises, and Anyone in a consensus, if asked, will have a problem with one issue or another. But overall, I think we've now reached the point where we need to implement consensus policy and move on. And I urge you to move on and not undermine the consensus by breaking down the compromise points.
Thank you, Wendy. And now across to the other side. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Li Mei Liu from China. I speak on behalf of China Organizational Name Administration Center, CONNECT in short. I would like to comment on the timeline to open new GTLD application. As many people in this room agree, we wish I can open the application round as soon as possible. We appreciate all the hard work I can have done. Well, there are some minor issues still working in process. We believe that the AGB is mature in general. We are not here to find a 100% perfect solution for all the problems in the world, which is an impossible task. Because as we know, DNS itself is not perfect. Holding up innovation failed to serve communities' needs and not bringing enough competition are all we're trying to avoid. Thus, we urge ICANN to move forward and put this paperwork into practice. I would like to see ICANN to stick to its original timeline published a few weeks ago. Thank you.
I just want to say thank you, and we particularly recognize and appreciate the pressing need in non-Latin script-based languages for more consumer choices and offerings. So, thank you.
Sorry, back to the side.
Thank you, Peter. My name is John Berryhill. I'm an intellectual property attorney with extensive experience in domain dispute procedures. I'm very encouraged by the words of Mr. Shepherd a few moments ago that we should be focused on protecting the legitimate interests of those currently doing business in the trademark dispute policies, because that crystallizes what is not reflected in the types of proposals which have consistently been made in this area. Any process which recognizes that any registered trademark anywhere is of equal scope, strength, or weight as any other is not consistent with that purpose that Mr. Shepherd had crystallized, because there are businesses whose business consists of nothing more than accumulating trademark registrations. And over the last few years, as this process has slowed down, there are businesses whose business has been to accumulate them for the purpose of gaming ICANN trademark dispute processes. Let me just give you one example. During the .biz launch, a U.S. paint company had seen the process coming and had nimbly applied for a French trademark registration for the trademark paint.biz, which advanced no legitimate purpose of theirs, was not used as a mark on any good or any goods or services theirs. It was not a brand. It was obtained simply for the purpose of obtaining a domain name. In Mr. Shepherd's jurisdiction, the Benelux Trademark Office, there are 6 trademark registrations for the word shopping. One of them is owned by a person sitting in this room through a shell company, and if he'd like to stand up and wave, he can do so. But we've heard a lot, it's true, and one of the other ones is owned by a company which has an apparent relationship with an entity that is going to apply to ICANN to run the trademark clearinghouse. The types of games going on I don't think we're necessarily informed of at your level. We've heard a lot of talk about externalities, and I would suggest that the loss of communicative language to these sorts of games is also an externality having definite economic consequences. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Yes, ma'am, over to you.
Hello, my name is Gabriela Slack. I am a fellow from Argentina, from the ICANN Fellowship Program. I represent the Latin American E-Commerce Institute. In Spanish, the name is Instituto Latinoamericano de Comercio Electrónico, which is a federation of e-commerce chambers from Latin America. Now I am directing their regional program for online dispute resolution for the digital economy. So first of all, I just wanted to thank you so much on behalf of all the fellows for this great opportunity that you give us, and that we are really learning a lot, and we would like to become a part of this community. I understand that a new TTLV program is expected to bring new and more disputes that will have to be addressed by the dispute resolution providers accredited by ICANN and in application of EU DURP. I understand currently there are only 4 dispute resolution providers accredited by ICANN, none of which is from my region. So in a scenario of new and more conflicts to arise in the future, so I encourage you to address this issue and so bring to us the possibility to file a case at a regional provider. I understand that these dispute resolution providers are independent and neutral organizations. Still, we would like to see ICANN trying to ensure representation of every region, also when it comes to selecting dispute resolution providers. That this would bring lots of benefits to our region, like, for example, encourage competition among providers, lower the cost for filing a case, not only because now only the big trademark owners have access to these processes, because you have to go to a big law firm to do this. And so also only rich arbitrators are capable of paying the cost for the training courses that, for example, are offered by WIPO. Again, this is all, and I would encourage you to really address this issue. And so not only this, but other benefits will come with this decision. Thank you very much.
Gracias para asistir a nuestra reunión.
Thank you for coming to our meeting.
Thank you for participating in our fellowship program. Can I just ask people to be briefer than they've been? And if you're standing in line simply to repeat what somebody else has said in your own words, please think hard before. The board doesn't really need to hear encouragements to move forward, nor do we need encouragements to take care as we move forward. So there's a certain pattern emerging that it's got to a point where I think it's reasonably obvious. I don't want to cut anybody off. This is a public forum, and you've come a long way, and we want to hear from you. Just think about what different information or different advice you might be able to give us. Thank you. Tony. Oh, I'm sorry. No, back to this side. Naomasa.
My name is Naomasa Maruyama with JP Nick. I'm very happy that on Monday, could please mentioned about the criteria for measuring success of the new GTLV program. And the answer, his explanation was that the success should be measured against the purpose of the raised in the final report, that is the promoting the competition and the increase the consumer benefit and blah, blah, blah. That is a very important thing, I think, and I really appreciate that he mentioned about that, because I gave the comment about this point that in the last comment period, that is the how we can measure the success of the GTLV program. I'm not sure this point is first raised by who, but anyway, I'm very happy to hear that. But still in this regard, I have the one question that is about the single resistant TLD. Recall that in the very first DAC, the public comment was raised by the Microsoft. That is mentioned in the page 58 in the analysis of the public comment dated 18th February 2009. That is, if ICANN does not intend to allow the community-based GTLD designation to apply to corporate branded GTLD, it should state so and provide a detailed explanation as to why not. So this point is very important, I think, and I strongly believe this point is not nothing to do with the measurement criteria. So what's the board's consideration about this point, and what's your point? I want to hear the answer about that.
Okay, well, I can't do that here, but we'll see if we can make sure that's answered. Tony.
Yes, I'm Tony Harris with the Latin American Federation of the Internet and Electronic Commerce. I won't urge the board to move forward. You all know that I'm a TLD applicant. so it's not much point in repeating that. I would rather use these brief seconds for a very humble suggestion without in any way wishing to instruct the board on how to proceed on what comes. And basically, I'm concerned that there may be more delay in the proceedings due to this these last-minute developments. I don't know how to call them. And in that sense, it is my understanding that we are committed at some stage in the process to a 120-day communication period to let the whole world know that new TLDs are in the offing or imminent. My suggestion would be, why don't we start that communication period? It has to be done anyhow. I think the budget allocation is there. And when you point to the whatever version of the DAG is up on the website for that communication purpose, you can simply highlight those sections of the DAG which are still under discussion. So anybody who comes in and looks at it knows what may be changed. But we get through that 120-day period, and that does not hang over the applicants for the moment when you finally take the approval decision. It's just a suggestion. Thank you.
Tony, thanks for that. Just a very quick response. It's a question the board asks itself very frequently is when is the appropriate time to launch? And what we keep hearing from the community, the most important thing we can tell you is when it's going to start. So with that essential element not yet available, we think it's inappropriate to launch a communications program. But we'll be looking at that again as part of this round. Let's come to this side. Khaled.
Thank you, Peter. Khaled Fatal, Group Chairman, the Multilingual Internet Group, and a member of the ICANN 30-plus meetings, which puts me in a position where I actually want to safeguard ICANN even from itself, if I can. I thank ICANN for going out of its way, putting under bright neon lights something new in the final proposed guidebook, which I find of great concern to the core ICANN values and mission and the single route I believe in, and I quote. Section 1.2, information for all applicants, on page 28, the paragraph on legal compliance, it states, ICANN must comply with all U.S. laws, rules, and regulations. One such set of regulation is the Economic and Trade Sanctions Program administered by the Office of Foreign Asset Control, OFAC, of the United States Department of Treasury. These sanctions have been imposed on certain countries as well as individuals and entities that appear on OFAC's list of specially designated nationals and blocked persons, the SDN list. ICANN is prohibited from providing most goods or services to the residents of sanctions countries or their governmental entities or to SDNs without an applicable U.S. government authorization of exemption. And I will, the paragraph goes on. Now, the point here is, for those who are not familiar with OFAC and the SDN list, they reflect the U.S. government's government list of undesirables that reflects legitimate but only U.S. legal and foreign policy interests. Now the very loud fire alarm bells on internet governance. Does ICANN really want to tell international communities and many sovereign nations it seeks to become ICANN supporters like China, Russia, India, Brazil, the Arab states, and many others that the internet that will reach them and will reach their territories, and especially in their local languages through ID and GTLDs, will be governed by and is subject to U.S. laws and U.S. foreign policy? Because this is what it's telling them. I believe this has grave risks on the single route, the validity of the affirmation of commitments, and a detailed statements due to the shortness of time on the ramification will be submitted, if you wish.
Khaled, thank you very much for your remarks, which we really appreciate and which I think we're all sensitive to. You are correct. There are sanctions, and in fact, there are sanctions in almost every jurisdiction in the world, including the United Nations. We are under U.S. sanctions. That's a fact, and really appreciate your raising this issue.
Thank you.
And sharing it. Thank you.
Thank you. Now across the other side, Fred.
Fred Krueger, Minds and Machines. I would like to make a suggestion to the board. I think that there's an overwhelming concern that has emerged at this meeting that the economic benefits of new GTLDs may not be outweighed by the cost. Now, I think Personally, I'm 90% convinced they are. I think 75, 80% of this room are convinced, and I believe that the board is convinced because you've been voting in favor of new GTLDs for the last 3 years. I think you need to actually put that in writing. I think you need to take this economic studies, the 6 economic studies. There's a lot of other data that you can get from Minds and Machines, from other participants on both sides. You need to come up with a position paper to say, these are the reasons that we feel that the economic benefits are probably going to be bigger than the economic costs. And let's let that thing die. Let's put it on paper. Let's have a position statement that we can give to the GAC that we can say this is our position. Because unless you have that paper, unless you've codified your arguments, and some of them may be qualitative, some of them may be, we can't predict the future. I made that argument yesterday. We can't exactly. But we do have some quantitative basis. We do know the pattern of registrations over the last round of GTLDs. We know the pattern of registrations of the last CCTLDs. We know how much infringement is happening. We know probably what the URS will do as far as cutting down the cost. We can make some back-of-the-envelope cases. I suggest that having that analysis would help a lot with improving relations with the GAC, with improving relationships with the U.S. government, and really making your case for being who you are and pushing this program and calling us to this process. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Fred. I have a great deal of sympathy for that position, and certainly the economic study that's just come out is going to be used in that way. Jonathan.
Hi, my name's Jonathan Frakes, and I hadn't realized who I came after, but this might be fitting. I stand here, a man who is unemployed. And I'm unemployed and underemployed as a result of the delays in the new top-level domain process. And I'd like to tell a story about a variety of people who are ready to hire, who are ready to put money into businesses to start commerce directed towards consumer choice and competition. And they're ready to hire and ready to create jobs as soon as there are dates certain for this new TLD process. So I personally would like to see this move forward. I find myself still engaging in a productive way in the ICANN process. I know many of you. You know me as a very reasonable person. I'm very grateful for any momentum that could continue. And God bless the fact that there could be certain dates quite soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jonathan. So, across to the other side. Ma'am, your turn.
Thanks, Bengt. I'm Hawa Jakite, representative of Mali in the GAC. So, allow me to make my speech in French to promote the multilingualism, and thanks the service tradition for her service. Thanks. Donc, comme j'avais dit.
And further to the Union to the African Union regarding the That Africa project, in fact, after the recommendation of the meeting of the ministers, they recommended to the African Union to observe, to analyze the possibilities to implement the That Africa project. Further to this meeting, the committee of the UNIAfrica entrusted African experts, like the speaker, the possibility of Africa proposed for the That Africa project like a geographic domain name. And with respect to this matter, the group of experts, in fact, is working on this matter in order to have an open process, a comprehensive process in place in order to propose a better offer to preserve the interest of Africa. Because of all these manifold reasons, Mali will accept any initiative, individual or isolated, or what could result from the community. As a member of the working group, I confirm before the whole community that Mali supports the That Africa initiative with respect to this project.
I'm from Brazil. I represent the ISP community there. I'm in the GNSO Council, but here I'm speaking on my personal capacity. I would say that the work done by ACAN under the guidance of the board in the applicant guidebook is a model of transparency to how issues should be treated in a connected world. But sometimes a connected world can become a tied one. And in this respect, I want to endorse Werner Staub's comment and humbly ask your patience to add some specific suggestions. Much of the debate over the new GTLD process would be reduced if we reduced the size of the batch of new TLDs to be periodically released. A more incremental approach would enable also progressive evaluation of the process, allowing its acceleration or deceleration, given its benefits or costs to the overall internet community. As to which applicants should be given priority in this process, I would give it to all those communities and groups that already have manifested their interests, the upper part of the cake mentioned by Werner. In particular, I would leave out brand names whose registration brings about trademark protection concerns, besides the possible impression that ICANN could be prioritizing financial aspects. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Yes, sir, your turn.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Metkowski. I'm from Las Vegas Sands Corp, but I'm speaking here in my personal capacity. Las Vegas Sands is a member of the biz constituency, but I'm speaking only on my personal behalf. I wanted to bring to the board's attention a factor that I haven't heard considered frequently in the discussions over the last few days. And that is, in the cost-benefit analysis, as you consider the benefits of the changes that are being proposed in the applicant guidebook, it needs to be weighed against the cost of delay and the cost of uncertainty, because those two factors do have a cost, whether you're an IP holder or a business that has an interest in launching a GTLD. It is really not specific to the type of interest you have, whether it's IP or not. For everyone involved, there's a cost in delay and the uncertainty and not knowing when this is going to launch. Although the campaign for marketing has not begun, it's all over the internet. Everyone knows that this is a possibility, and responsible businesses are planning accordingly, and they need to know how to plan. And if the applicant guidebook is constantly changed, there's a cost in that to business. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Sophia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, distinguished boards and participants, and also great thank you for the local host and organizers in this meeting. It has gone very well. My name is Sophia Bekele, and I represent Dot Connect Africa, an organization that's applying for the Dot Africa GTLD in the next round of application. Also, we've been championing the Dot Africa TLD all over Africa. Most of you here have recognized our activities through our regular press releases and distributions on Facebook and Twitter. Not to advertise here, if you want to get to know more of our work, please do follow us. While I stand here in front of you, ladies and gentlemen, to express, like most, not to delay the application process, also being careful not to ask for exception for Africa, I want to say why the African continent needs this GTLD most. DCA, which has championed Africa for Dot Africa for Africa, anchored on three key principles. One is to brand the continent's products and services so people would know what Africa does and the positives that Africa has to offer. While Africa's image has suffered through war, famine, and governance issues, there is also another image that the world does not know about Africa, and that can be told through the people when they engage in promoting their products and services for trade and investment through a new GTLD. This is also quite in line with the current U.S. administration policy on focus on Africa to assist increasing trade and investment. While we acknowledge ICANN is an international organization. It's also based in the USA. Therefore, the .Africa TLD fulfills this US agenda and support for Africa's speedy entry into the global village. The second key principle is .Connect Africa has created a Generation Africa theme to empower the youth to adapt to the powers of the internet and its use, thus enjoying a great following so far. ITU is a good will partner to ICANN, and also the Secretary General, Dr. Hamadoun Touré, an African as well, under his administration has championed broadband for Africa since 2007.
Okay, and thanks, Sophia. Time is up.
One moment.
No, please. Thank you, Sophia. Your time is up. Thank you. We're going out to Mr. Foody. Your turn.
Thank you, gentlemen. Given my view that this is going to turn into a land grab for TLDs, with the people who've known about this the longest having the advantage, some people have had 10 years to prepare for this. Given the board's notice, their demands of panelists in the new GTLD guidebook, reflecting your acceptance that you're working in the public interest, that you are that unethical actions or even the appearance of compromise are not acceptable. The fact that the new GTLD program is a program that the board is enacting on the recommendations of the GNSO, who to a very large extent are actively involved in lobbying for new GTLDs, either directly or indirectly, the board really should start again. I'd suggest you've got 1,000 new GTLDs, 500 top cities, 500 of the world's biggest communities, and just so I don't have to get up again, make one of them a .xx and tie it into .com, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Foody. Amadeo, I didn't want to cut you off. You're entitled to your you have the honour of going first and now last. Well done.
Okay. I keep out all the parts that were repeating something that some other people were saying. Just going on behalf of many of the community-based TLDs that we are advising and representing here, that they're not here because they cannot afford, in terms of time and money, to follow the ICANN world circus. And there's no pejorative intent on circus, simply just going around playing a show, besides other things, is that on the community in the community priority evaluation, besides the problems mentioned here, there's another one. The registration policies that are considered ideal for ICANN, that is the one scoring the 4 points, are registration policies that none of the existing TLDs really can would score 4 points. Not .museum, not .coop, not .aero, not .cat, to mention some of the most restrictive TLDs that are always mentioned. I think that the problem is that they are not realistic. They are taking different approaches, which is eligibility, but most especially name selection and content and use regulations, as they were cumulative when they are used as alternatives in different cases or in different TLDs. And this means that it's impossible to score a complete higher score for anyone. And I don't think that ICANN should ask for unreasonable policies, policies that nobody wants and nobody uses. I repeat, even not the most restrictive TLDs in ICANN today, to score something that allows them to succeed that. We shouldn't be unreasonable. So either we increase the range, so if there is 0, 1, 2 for each one, it could be possible, but 0, 1 means that failing in most of them, or we make some of them alternative, or we decrease the total to 13 as it was until the second last version with the same rules. It could work. Thanks.
Thanks very much, and thank you all very much for the contributions to the new TLD debate, which I'm going to close now, and we'll take the break because we're at that scheduled time.
Peter.
But given that we've run over time, I'm going to shorten the coffee break so that we'll be back here at 3:30 because the catering's ready, and we'll continue. All right, well, you're now using up the coffee break. Jean-Jacques.
Yes, at the risk of eating up a few seconds of coffee break, I just wanted to say sorry for reacting so slowly, that I was impressed by Khaled Fatal's intervention. He brought us a subject which is really important, I think. I don't think we have a quick reply to that. His point was that there are sanctions which were decided by one country or a group of countries, and because of the nature of ICANN, which is to the public service of the general public worldwide, there is a misfit or perhaps a contradiction. So I know it's very difficult to arrive at a proper mix, a policy mix, but I would suggest that we take that seriously as a subject for study. We are a U.S. corporation under California law, but I think we must find a better medium way between our international dimension and our anchoring in California law.
Thanks, Jean-Jacques. All right. Let's take the break. We'll be resuming at 3:30. Thank you.